Welcome, and thank you for listening to the Jizo An Zen Community's Dharma Talks. We are happy to make these recordings available to you. Please consider making a one-time or recurring donation via the link on our webpage found under Become a Member. We thank you wholeheartedly. Gassho.
Well, I'm dealing with a cold. So that's why I'm drinking water and so on. So if I start to sound like Donald Duck midway through this, you'll understand why. So tonight's teaching is called Great Faith, the First Pillar of Practice. In Zen, faith and doubt are inseparable. You can look at them as two sides of the same coin. Along with perseverance, these three make up what are known as the three pillars of practice. Great faith, great doubt, great perseverance. You can view them also as three legs of a tripod. You need all three to have a solid practice. If you think about it, almost everything we do requires some degree of faith. In general, life requires faith. For example, when we come to a green traffic light on Route 70 and pass through the busy intersection, we rely on faith that a tractor trailer will not be barreling through the intersection and hit us broadside. When we order things through the internet, there's faith involved because there's a period between when we have given sensitive information, like our credit card number, and when we have the goods that we ordered in hand. As students of Zen, we also know that life is impermanent. When we tuck ourselves in at night and set the snooze button on our alarm clock, we believe in something, and that something is a tomorrow that we haven't seen yet. And there's no guarantee that we will wake up. However, we trust that we will, and that requires faith. The word faith is often used synonymous for religion. People will ask, what is your faith? But to mean, what is your religion? If someone is viewed to be a religious individual, you may hear them referred to as a person of faith. But what do we mean by faith from a Buddhist perspective? There are many people of faith in the world. Historically, the idea of faith has been used to slice cleanly between those who belong to a select religion and follow its doctrines and those who do not. Of course, there are those who find it easier to embrace a belief system than others. Many people can't believe in something they haven't experienced personally. There are also those that link faith to narrow-minded belief systems that lack intelligent examination of the facts. Webster's definition of the word faith is firm belief in something for which there is no proof. So you can see where these people are coming from. Here's what Thomas Merton had to say about faith. Faith is not expected to give complete satisfaction to the intellect. It leaves the intellect suspended in obscurity without a light proper to its own mode of knowing. Yet it does not frustrate the intellect or deny it or destroy it. It pacifies it with a conviction which it knows it can't accept quite rationally under the guidance of love. Faith is the opening of an inward eye, the eye of the heart, to be filled with the presence of divine light. Ultimately, faith is the only key to the universe, the final meaning of human existence, and the answer to questions on which all our happiness depend cannot be reached in any other way. So according to Merton, faith leads to love and happiness. The truth is that having faith in something is actually good for us. Medical studies have shown that people of faith live longer and recover from illnesses more quickly. These studies also show that meditation can have positive psychological, emotional, and physical effects. And it's becoming increasingly clear that Zen training in meditation and mindfulness living can bring profound healing and transformation to one's body and entire life. From a Zen perspective, the teachings on great faith can be a lifeline because it has a medicinal quality when applied in the context of our cynicism, anxiety, and doubt. Many of us start out on the Buddhist path perceiving a huge gap between our doubts. Who is this person in the mirror? Is it really possible to be content? And the inexplicable knowledge based on Buddhist teachings that our lives could be vast and fearless, in perfect harmony with all things. The teachings of the Buddha are clear. Faith is not hoping for a better moment, not waiting for some other time, place, person, or afterlife. Faith is in the now. I'd like to share a piece by Josho Pat Phelan. She's the abbess of the Chapel Hill Zen Center in North Carolina. And it's a transcript, and it's called Faith and Vow in Zen Practice. And it comes from a talk that she gave at a Jukai ceremony where people received the precepts. And this is what she says. In his book, Returning to Silence, Katagiri Roshi has a section on the precepts. And I'm really struck by how much Katagiri Roshi used the term faith in this section. The meaning of faith in Buddhism is a conviction that grows through our own direct experience with the teaching. This doesn't mean just hearing the teaching and liking it, or even understanding it. It means knowing how the teaching applies and works in our own lives. In Zen, we tend to use the word faith to mean trust or confidence that practice works, that the fundamental nature of our mind is awakened. And because of this, we can throw ourselves fully into practice without expectations. Practice then becomes an endeavor that isn't dependent on what it can do for us. We ourselves have the ability to practice and to awaken. So our trust or faith is not in something outside of ourselves. Or maybe it means trusting everything, including ourselves and our practice. Perhaps in Zen practice, one of the greatest leaps of faith is the willingness to let go of thought, including our story. And letting go of our story is a fundamental form of renunciation. Once, someone described the storyline as the story of me, starring me, directed by me, told by me, and heard by me. When I get involved in telling myself a detailed description of something I did or was involved in, and when I, quote, come to and realize what I'm doing, it just seems so strange to be telling myself what happened as if I weren't there when it happened. Repeating our stories strengthens our points of view, justifies our actions, and perpetuates our pain. I think, to some extent, to let go of our story is to let go of ourselves. As Roshi Phelan points out, when we practice Zazen, the more we are able to settle into this body and mind, the more we are able to trust, and the stronger our trust becomes, the more we can feel where we hold back and how we try to protect and defend the identity that we have created. What allows us to settle into this experience, into this moment fully, is to let go of our explanations and interpretations, just sitting with the unknown. To do this, we need to let go of any expectations and hopes of what Zazen will do for us, And this is a radical letting go of any thoughts or ideas we may have about the results of our efforts. Faith is what allows us to let go, to drop anything outside this present moment. During Zazen, this means mentally letting go of our strategies, plans, and even orientation in time and space. When the Buddha gave up his lavish lifestyle as a prince and set out on his spiritual journey, he didn't know what was going to happen. He certainly didn't know that he was going to be the awakened one, that he was going to be the leading, guiding teacher of a large community. He couldn't have known that he would be respected by people in his own lifetime, and that he would start a tradition that would last for 2,600 plus years and have profound impact on people around the world. He simply set out on a personal spiritual journey to resolve the question, how can I live fully today? That culminated with his enlightenment on the Ribodhi tree in India. His quest started out based on great faith and great doubt, and was only realized through great perseverance. Here's what Sensei Seven Ross of the Chicago Zen Center says about great faith. Great faith and great doubt are two ends of a spiritual walking stick. We grip one end with the grasp given to us by our great determination or great perseverance. We poke into the underbrush in the dark on our spiritual journey. This act is really spiritual practice, gripping the faith end and poking ahead with the doubt end of the stick. If we have no faith, we have no doubt. If we have no determination, we will never pick up the stick in the first place. And I think this is a nice way to look at, you know, the three pillars of practice and how they work together. It seems next to impossible these days to discuss any type of contemporary spirituality without talking about the implication of faith. Almost every religion or belief system calls for belief in a god or gods. In other words, believing in something external to us. Not there's anything wrong with this, just that since Buddhism is not really a religion in a theistic, traditional theistic sense, and is more of a way of life, faith takes on a very different role. It takes on the role of practice. The Buddha himself took a very pragmatic approach to spirituality. He recommended to his followers that his followers should try what he has discovered worked for him. It may work for them as well, and then again, it may not. And that's kind of how he left it. However, stressing only the practical value of following the Zen Buddhist path would be a mistake. The role that faith plays in Buddhist practice, should not be underestimated. Faith and devotion are a major part of the path. If there's any one aspect of faith that is common to all Buddhist traditions, it is that we have faith that we can find a safe place to take refuge during life's difficult and troubling times. And we find the sanctuary in what we know as the three treasures or the three jewels: the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. Taking refuge in the three treasures means that we trust and have faith in Buddha as an awakened teacher, and in the possibility of awakening and contentment for each and every one of us. It means that we have faith in the Dharma, the enlightened teachings of the Buddha, and the reality of truth itself. It means that we have faith in the Sangha, the possibility that we can heal and be healed by the love and compassion found within the Jizoan Zen community. This belief has subtle and far-reaching implications. If, for example, we are able to believe in, or even just be open to, the possibility for awakening, or our own innate Buddha nature, we will, by definition, have faith in our own basic worthiness, in our own potential and capacity for goodness. During our formal sutra service, we chant Atta Dipa. Atta means self. Dipa means light. And the next word, Viharatha, expresses their identity. Together, these words translate as, well, you are the light. Atta Dipa Viharatha are the words of the Buddha in his own language, Pali, as he recited them some 2,600 years ago. They were given by the Buddha to Ananda, his cousin and student, in the company of other monks right before the Buddha's death. Panicked and weeping, Ananda perceived that he had lost his opportunity to awakening with the Buddha's pending death. Sometimes you'll see the words island and refuge used interchangeably in this chant. For example, therefore, be an island unto yourself, refuge unto yourself, seeking no external refuge, with the Dhamma as your island, Dhamma as your refuge, seeking no other refuge. Scholars believe that this translation is what was actually spoken by the Buddha. What the Buddha was saying to Ananda and his monks was, if you have faith in yourself, you'll do just fine when I'm gone. These words are still spoken or chanted every day at Buddhist temples, monasteries, and Zen centers around the world. They point to the fact that the Buddha's path is about having faith in one's own innate abilities, ultimately relying on one's own understanding and effort is the only refuge. In other words, the future is in our hands. No one else can give us lasting happiness, peace, freedom, and awakening. This requires faith in our own abilities. The two parts of the chant, namely, dwelling as a light unto yourself, and Dharma as the refuge, and seeking no other refuge, may appear contradictory. But they are one in meaning. The reliance upon the Buddha, the teaching, the Dharma, and a supportive community, Sangha, leads to the discovery of the inner refuge, of being a light unto yourself. Whenever we seek spiritual comfort and something we can rely on, we turn to the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. We also affirm this during our formal sutra service when we chant Tisarana. I take refuge in the Buddha, I take refuge in the Dharma, and I take refuge in the Sangha. With time, we see that Zen is a way of life that has great depth and breadth. What began initially as faith and practice deepens into something more profound. We begin to see Zen Buddhism as something with unfathomable depth. Our spiritual journey is no longer based exclusively on faith, but must be described by other words, like realization, insight, understanding, wisdom, and compassion. We start to have a better sense of our place in the universe. We all enter Zen practice complete in our capacity, but limited in our ability. Or another way of saying this, something that I heard over 40 years ago when I first started to meditate, is that only you can do this, but it's really difficult to do it on your own. This is where faith in the spiritual community or Sangha comes in. Yasutani Roshi, who first came to America from Japan in 1962, had this to say about great faith. And this is from Philip Kaplu's book, Three Pillars of Zen. First of the three essentials of Zen practice is strong faith. It is more than mere belief. It is a faith that is firmly and deeply rooted, immovable, like an immense tree or a huge boulder. It is a faith, moreover, untainted by belief in the supernatural or superstitious. Buddhism has often been described as both a rational religion and a religion of wisdom. But a religion it is, and what makes it one is this element of faith, without which it is merely philosophy. Buddhism starts with the Buddha's supreme enlightenment, which he attained after strenuous effort. Our deep faith, therefore, is in his enlightenment, the substance of which he proclaimed to be that human nature, all existence, is intrinsically whole. Flawless. In other words, perfect. Without unwavering faith in this, the heart of the Buddha's teaching, it is impossible to progress far in one's practice. The second indispensable quality is a feeling of strong doubt. Not a simple doubt, mind you, but a doubt mass. And this inevitably stems from strong faith. It is a doubt as to why we in the world should appear so imperfect, so full of anxiety, strife, and suffering, when in fact our deep faith tells us exactly the opposite is true. It is a doubt which leaves us no rest. It is as though we knew perfectly well that we were millionaires, and yet inexplicably found ourselves in dire need without a penny in our pockets. Strong doubt, therefore, exists in proportion to strong faith. So in summary, if there is any one aspect of faith that is common to all Buddhist traditions, it is that we have faith that we can find a safe place to take refuge within the three treasures, the Buddha, the Dharma, and the Sangha. With time, we watch our practice evolve from pure faith into realization, insight, and understanding. In Zen, great doubt implies not skepticism, but a state of perplexity, or probing inquiry, of intense questioning. Without great perseverance, we will not go the distance. Buddhists rarely speak of Buddhism as a faith. Instead, it's a practice. Faith is part of the practice, but so is doubt and perseverance. With time, we see that Zen is a way of life that has great depth. What began initially as faith in the practice deepens into something more profound.